Hey kid, you looking for answers? Wrong stop. But if you're into messy stories about addiction, mental health, and the side of life that no one else wants to discuss, come, stay a while. This is Malfunction Junction. I'm Andrew. That's Jay. We're just two guys trying to figure some shit out before the next bus rolls in. Sit tight. Might get weird. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Malfunction Junction.
Thank you for joining us.
This is Andrew.
This is Jay.
How are we doing today? Jay, how are you doing today?
Pretty solid, exhausted. It's been a couple weeks of working every day, but you know what? We're making progress, and yeah, we're finally about to kick off some new shit, so I'm excited.
Hell yeah.
How you doing, buddy?
Today, all right. It's been an interesting week. Before we get into that, which we always will, shout out last episode. It was good. It was a good one. You gotta go. If you haven't listened to it, go back and listen to it again, or for the first time.
Talked about some pretty interesting metaphysical, spiritual shit.
Yeah, we got another one like that for you guys today.
Yeah, it was enjoyable.
An interesting one. But yeah, anyone that listened to that, shout out. We love you. Anyone that listens to this show every time, shout out. We love you. Hold on, we'll give you one of these. Thank you for listening.
Big round of applause. Appreciate you.
On the other side of that, we have today. I saw a couple people, and I was reported a couple people. I didn't report them, but like as in like someone reported to me that they saw some people wearing masks again. I went onto the internet and was like, is there some new thing that they're trying to promote? Like a sickness thing.
Monkeypox 2.0.
Monkeypox COVID 28. And I couldn't find anything. I don't understand why these people are wearing masks still. These people are afraid of something that happened 5 years ago.
Is the 19 because it started in 2019?
Fuck, I don't know, dude. I always thought that. Now I think about that.
Is that the name of the disease?
I think that was the strain of the particular disease.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's what I think it was. No idea, though.
Yeah, that's fair.
But yeah, so stop wearing masks. Look, if you're sick, that's a whole thing, but like... You shouldn't be out if you're sick. Just because you're sick and you put a mask on doesn't give you an excuse to go about your day. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's... That's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, if you're going to be sick and go do shit, just do it.
Yeah.
Hold your nuts, get other people sick, you know?
If you're going to, because you are going to anyway, regardless of the mask or not.
It's just like, for the people that, even people that have slight autoimmune deficiencies, like I know a few, you sure. Still want to build up your immune system.
Well, yeah.
If you're around someone and they're coughing and they're clearly extremely sick, yeah, sure.
Just be away from that person.
Yeah, or distance, be, but...
Yeah. If you can't, then yeah.
Like, walking around the city all day, every day is... criminally insane.
Yeah.
And I support the mask wearing in certain situations.
Agreed. If it's in certain situations.
Like my cousin has a heart transplant. If he's around, if his family gets sick, he wears that motherfucker. He's been doing that always, as he should.
Yeah, I think it's fair to wear the mask if you cannot. Cold, but. If you cannot be not around those people.
Right. But at the same time, it's like if you have a mask and you're not constantly washing your hands, then you're going to get fucking some transfer germs anyhow. Unless you don't believe in germ theory. Shout out to our boy Greg. I don't know where you're at. I think you're in Vegas now. If you ever listen to this,
shout out,
I love
Greg.
You, dude. You're fucking nuts.
You're but nuts, you're but cool. You're the man.
So cool.
Yeah. That was one of our first like moments we kind of bonded, really, I think. Like where we were arguing with Greg about flat earth theory.
Oh, and gravity.
And gravity.
He didn't believe gravity.
No.
It's density, man. What does that mean, Greg? Tell me what that means. Tell me what that means, you asshole. Love him, though.
Greg, if you're listening, please write in. Tell us what that means.
Tell Michelle I said hello.
Yeah. Tell Michelle we said hi.
Yeah, he's to anyone who has never met this man, which is probably the majority of our listeners, he is an NYU graduate and a registered nurse. He doesn't believe in German virus theory.
Nope.
Crazy.
God bless him.
That'd be like a mechanic who doesn't believe that like gas starts vehicles.
Yeah.
You're like, what? Oh, wait. But you're you fix the engine. How do you not know how the engine works? You don't believe in it?
Yeah.
Same with Greg.
Yeah, that's basically the same thing.
I wonder if he just didn't prescribe people antibiotics. He's like, dude, you're going to be fine. Like, that'd be crazy, dude. How many people came in with, like, serious illness? Yeah, like, just, like, staph infection eating away. And he's like, dude, you know, you need to fucking sunbathe.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Right. Yeah. Pray, dude. Put some tonic on it.
Yeah.
All right. Moving forward.
Yeah. So we'll go on to clean but still a mess here.
Favorite section of the week.
This goes into my Saturday, is what I've titled here, Ping Pong Saturday. I did not play ping pong, nor table tennis, or the same thing, which are the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't play either of those things.
It's just fun.
I love it. I thought I was really good at it. I mean, my dad used to play all the time in the garage at home. I mean, then we went to, like, a club.
Yeah.
And got our fucking asses.
It's like that with pool, though, too. I play people all the time. They're like, oh, dude, I've been playing pool my whole life. I'm pretty good. And it's like, play me. I played with a coach for 2 years. Right, yeah,
there's a difference in that.
Yeah, and you're like, nah, dude, it's not the same.
Yeah.
Should I get a ping pong topper for the pool table?
It's too small in there. Fair. Yeah.
All right, moving forward.
Anyway, I would love that, but nothing more than that.
You
but,
would fully block the walkway for minutes at a time.
Yeah, and anybody that would, it'd be not good. Ping Pong Saturday for me was I had a good day up until like 5, and then I I couldn't do one thing, so I went and tried to do another thing. And then couldn't do that thing. So I didn't give up and tried to go do another thing.
I know you're talking about.
Yeah. And then, I'll go too into detail. But it definitely was one of those days where it was just like, fuck, man. And eventually I just went home and went to bed.
Yeah.
And it was one of those days where it was just like, all right, I can't win today. I'm going to try again tomorrow.
You were in libertarian purgatory, dude.
Libertarian purgatory, yes.
Yeah, it's rough.
It's a rough one. It's not it's not great. That's going to be the title of the episode for sure. Libertarian purgatory.
Fair play, yeah. Yeah. Liberal entertainment just isn't your thing, man.
No. And it's nothing. It's, I don't know. It's fucking...
You know what I'd love to see? I'd love to watch.
It wasn't even the liberal entertainment. Continue what you're saying.
I'd love to watch you watch a slam poetry at like.
I've been to
a slam poetry. Like a progressive college though.
I was at a slam. I went to a slam poetry over at Mercury Cafe, one of the last ones they had.
How was that?
Well, dude, holy shit!
Just watching.
I think
you
we maybe
like,
even talked about it on the podcast.
I don't think so. I'd love to see you watch like a short-haired non-binary person. All respect to the community. But I'd love to watch you watch them just go like, and the white devil came and he left. And when he returned, he brought the death.
Be like, you're white too, man.
Yeah. Just watch you fucking, the forehead vein you have pop out.
Yeah.
Be great.
Yeah. Yeah, the.
You could sleep on Saturday night though, at least.
Yeah, I slept fine.
That's good.
Sleep fine every night. I'd take fucking stuff for that.
Fair play.
So it just it wasn't even purely the liberal entertainment. It was the following. If it had just been that, I would have gone. And then I went over to the other place, and it was not what it was over there. If it wasn't inside, like. Blaring loud rap music that wasn't good. Look, I'm all for hip hop music and rap music. I love that shit. If it's good, there's a fine line though. And this was purely, dude. Most of the lyrics of the song were, I shit you not, dude. Like, and then I, stuck my dick in her ass after I put it in her mouth. It's just like, bro. Number one, like,
good for you.
You noticed that didn't rhyme.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like, this is not like. Good at all. And it's just blaring bad rap music that I don't know, man. I couldn't. And then people inside, that there were these two girls that were working there. One of them was working there, one of them was her friend, and they're just inside talking about like how good the rap music was. And I'm just like, am I in like a backwards world or something? And then I go outside And it's worse.
Yeah.
And it's worse somehow. And that was when I just turned around, went back inside, cashed it out, went home. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I think I went to Good Times Burger right across the street.
Never been there.
Ah, it's pretty good, man. If you ever go there, get the Oregon Blackberry Milkshake. God damn, is it? I might go get one of those if we finish before midnight.
Heard that.
Yeah.
We better.
We'll see. I would hope. Anyway. Yeah. So that's that was my Saturday, and that's my clean still mess. I'm still clean, but God damn it, that was a mess.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. How about you?
Well, I just put down furniture fiasco because I've lived in this new apartment now for going on 2 weeks.
Right.
I have nothing in there but a mattress and clothes. Mm. Not a single.
That's not great.
Not a single piece.
I suppose it's a good thing you're not looking for a girlfriend right now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It could not look more like a bachelor bed. It is my mattress on the floor. On the floor.
By the way, if you think there was supposed to be a bumps there, there wasn't.
No.
There was not.
No, that is 100% the truth.
Yeah.
And, yeah, no, I...
But if you are a girl looking for Jay, here he is.
Yeah, here we are. If your life is a shit show.
But you're good looking.
Yeah. If you're really fucked up mentally or have a really bad past, hit me up, dog. Because that's about the only person I can be on the same wavelength with right now. Yeah, if your life is together, if you have hopes and dreams and visions, then yeah, I'm probably not the person for you right now. No. We'll get there one day. We'll get back to
you.
You
will. You will. But in the meantime.
In the meanwhile, if you just need something to pass the time.
Jay's still not your man. Still not.
Whatever, dude. Send a DM to Malfunction Junction Podcast. We'll keep it rolling.
I run that fucking Instagram.
Oh, dude, you're just going to get like triple D titty pics now. That's awesome.
These are for Jay, I swear.
Anyway. So, yeah, no, I gotta get furniture. I feel like a real degenerate. It's better than my last apartment, which was so inundated with bullshit and fucking trash I didn't take out that it was horrific. And now I'm the exact opposite of that. Like, I'm scared to get too much stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we'll figure it out,
though. I think you...
Supposed to go get a couch tomorrow.
Yeah, you need a couch. You need a bookshelf, too. You probably do. You probably got quite a bit of books, huh?
Yeah, I got like 3 boxes of books.
You need bookshelves.
You need one of these bad boys.
Yeah, that one's nice. I have... four of those ones, and that's the only one that's not full.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll go to Goodwill.
Yeah, it's easy. Or so those ones are the Amazon Classics one for fucking $30, whatever.
$30.
I don't know. I have no idea.
$22.50. I don't know what take it or leave cost, it, man. All right. Well, what's new in the sports world, brother?
New in the sports world. Hold on. You don't have to fucking tell me what's new in the sports world, Siri. Suck my dick. Siri decided to jump in on that question. Shut up, Siri.
Siri will one day be able to do that, most likely. It'll sync up to a Bluetooth Jelkmaster 9000. Just fucking jork your shit, dog.
Yeah, that's going to be the day.
It's the future. We went from flying cars to voice-activated fleshlights, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, if that's one way to look at it. That's cool. That's one way. I don't know about me, personally. I'm a fan of real coitus.
Whoa.
What?
Coitus? Don't make it real, dude.
Coitus.
Ew, that's disgusting.
I'm not going to do
it. It's a rank word.
I'm not going to do the ASMR.
Cunnilingus?
Cunnilingus.
All right.
Cunnilingus, right?
Dog. Who's that from?
That's the Chappelle Show first episode, the fucking Clayton Bixby, the black white supremacist. Yeah.
Is he the blind one?
The blind black white supremacist, yep. That's an all time skit.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. All right, quick into sports talk, which we're doing here now. We'll probably stick to this, I would hope. We got this is a constant flow of content. Quick sports talk. We're going to do any sports thing. Since we last recorded, which was Tuesday, July 22nd, that is a week from today. We record, hopefully, on Tuesdays and release it on Saturdays. Since that day, the Giants are 2-4. And we didn't win today, so we're 2-5. If we lose again tonight, the Burst Pirates, we fall to 500, which we did lose. So we fall to 500 today. We were 12 games or something like that above 500 earlier. It's all good. It's the mandolin. Not good. And in the same time period, the Rockies are 4-3.
That sucks, dude.
Dog. Well, it's better than the fucking Giants.
I want the fucking Rockies to blow.
I want the Rockies to blow it, too.
If they lose 162 games, I'd genuinely be the happiest baseball fan you could find.
Yeah.
It'd be so sick. I'd go to a game. I'm still supposed to. I told you I would, but...
Yeah, I have those tickets September 1st, too, that you said you
had. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, we can do that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, so to the Rockies lost today at Cleveland. And the Giants lost at home to the Pirates.
It's rough.
Neither of those. I mean, Cleveland's pretty good, but the Pirates are not good. We shouldn't be losing to the Pirates.
No.
No.
I don't know enough about baseball really to comment.
Fair enough.
My wheelhouse is UFC, which, speaking of.
Yes.
Robert Whittaker got robbed.
Okay.
That's my dog.
He got robbed. What happened?
The big horsey.
Right.
Fucking.
Right.
Then we get this fucking South African dude, Rene de Ridder.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't. That was like Spanish or something.
Sure, yeah.
The South African accent is a bizarre one.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan. We've gone over that here.
Africans.
We've gone over that.
South Africa. Yeah, we have done that.
We've been directly racist to the South Africans, but you can't be racist
only to the South only to the white South Africans.
Yeah,
black ones are fine. Y'all are cool. Y'all are cool.
You can't be racist. But those people are literally what they accuse us of being. Which, by the way, I got into a fight today about Christopher Columbus not being white. Not fight, but you know what I mean.
I got into an argument recently with someone who said that they weren't white; they're Italian, and I was like, "You need to shut the fuck up. You need to shut the fuck up. We're not doing this today." Not.
It's a fun one, though.
I'm not doing this.
It's a fun one, though.
Greeks kind of have an argument.
Spanish. Spanish are white. Mixed with the Moors.
They're fully white.
Olive.
Avocado.
Fine.
Are we just naming fucking vegetables? What are we doing?
You're olive white. Skin.
Oh, my God. Because they have a tan?
Well, I mean,
Listen. That's not listen. If you meet a person from Spain who has more blood, I'm happy to say that person is not white. They're mixed. But ethnically Spanish people are white. If you're mixed in with Muslim or Arab blood, then yes, you'd be a mixed person.
We're probably going to cut this part too.
Nah, dude, fuck that. We're leaving it in.
I'll write it down.
No, fuck that. Leave race theory in here, dude.
Race theory.
And what, if the Spanish want to argue with me about being white, you tell them to find me, and I'll fucking knock the lisp out of them. ¿Y cómo estás? Yo soy no white. Shut up. Yeah, go away.
I don't think they are.
Whatever, dog. And tell them to come find me where I'm at.
Olive skin.
No, I'm not.
The Moors took over for like 400 years.
They took over South Spain.
There's
some intermixing. And again, if they're mixed, then they're mixed. You go, oh, well, some of my family is more. But ethnically, Spanish people are white. White. Blanco.
What year was Christopher Columbus? Or what year did the Moor take over?
Ooh, that was post-Crusade, so... Was that 1200s?
So, hypothetically speaking, it could have been during the Moor rule.
Maybe earlier.
I don't know that history far back that far. Well, I hear you're vaping in.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. So they controlled from 711, baby, to almost 1500. 1490.
That makes sense.
1492.
Did you see what I did there?
No. Wrong Brown.
Is it, though?
What do you want?
That's some of them. Then there are the Sikhs, and then there are also the Muslims.
The Sikhs own Quality Inns.
The Sikhs, there's a Sikh-owned gas station down the street. It's a Shell. Those guys are dope.
There's some Nepalis, too.
Those guys are fucking dope. I love those guys.
The Nepalis are big.
One of them showed me Gurkha. One time their cool knife thing that they got.
Oh, the Sikh fucking... the one, yeah, whatever the hell it's called. It looks like a cutlass almost.
It's sick, though. I don't know what it is, but it's dope.
Have you seen the Nepali one, the Kukri?
No.
It's badass. Very cool. My favorite knife growing up. But yeah, they controlled right up to 1492, the year Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Isn't that wild? So Columbus grew up in a Muslim-controlled
Spain. What, were his parents?
Wait, where is he from? He's not Spanish.
Spain, yeah.
No, what, didn't he move there?
Oh, that's right. He's Portuguese, isn't he?
Something like that. He's like Portuguese. The country who gave him the funding isn't the country he's from, and I don't remember which it was.
Either it's Portugal, or he's either Portuguese or and got the money from Spain. He's Italian.
Yeah, okay. That is what I thought.
Interesting.
And then he went to Spain, because he went to the Italian... I don't know what that's called.
That would not president, but that would have been at the time the Pope would have been the head of.
He didn't go to the Pope.
Well, the head of the that would have
whatever the head of state was. He went to them.
Right.
Didn't get it. Went somewhere else. Didn't get it. Went to Spain. They said no, not yet. And then he went back, got the funding, and then sailed the ocean blue.
And now we think of him as a monster.
So Columbus was
pretty monstrous.
Was white. Unless you want to make the Italian argument, in which case, go fuck yourself. Hit it.
We're going to change course here on the Malfunction Junction Podcast. We're going to argue about Italians. No, I'm just kidding.
You want to talk about a malfunction? You talk about fucking the... Okay, go ahead.
Anyway.
Moving on.
On to the next thing. And actually, let's roll. And we're back. So we are going to head on into the main section here. And the question here, that this is another one of those that I thought of myself. And we didn't have listeners ask us. Good job, Andrew. Anyway. And what made me think of this, I'll preface it with this. What made me think of this one is, I'll put it afterwards. Whatever the hell that's called, the suffix.
Okay.
I'll suffix it. Suffice it? Whatever.
No. The suffix is like your last name or like the
senior, but the, junior. I was thinking prefix is would be preface.
Preface. And it's not edifice. I don't know.
Whatever. Anyway.
Maybe you're right.
Have you ever met someone for the first time but felt like you already knew them? Not in a they remind me of my cousin kind of way, but like a deep, eerie sense of recognition. Like you've met some version of them before, even though they're a total stranger. What do you think that is? A past life, same soul, different body, or maybe you were just seeing a piece of yourself? What made me think about that was a couple of things. One being the people at the Kava Bar that I've met over the past 2 years, really. It's almost like every single one of them that I become friends with. Almost every single one of them. There's a few that stand out as otherwise, but have reminded me of people that I met almost exclusively in rehab. And I've said that before, I think, on here, is that the people, it's like graduating from rehab. You go to the Kava Bar.
Step 14, baby.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And so it's interesting to that, you know, there can be a similar... I don't know if it's a frequency or whatever it is, but that people give off when they're those people. And I wanted to kind of explore what that might be in terms of, we have a couple different sections here for it. We've got spiritual and metaphysical, also psychological and neurological, and then we have some philosophical and existential questions to go over as well. So we'll start off here with the spiritual and metaphysical. In some beliefs, past lives and reincarnation in the belief systems of Hinduism, Buddhism, and spiritualism, probably more as well, but who knows? Not I. Souls reincarnate. The idea that you've met them before, not just in this life, your soulmate or soul group, souls that travel together through multiple lives in different relationships. That was the second one. Soulmate or soul group, souls that travel together through multiple lives in different relationships. That one is interesting as well. And just to talk about these for a sec, how they relate to what I think is going on, which is I think I'm in all reality, I'm leaning more towards the psychological and neurological explanations of these things, but to explore the metaphysical, I do, but there is a part of me that believes in reincarnation. I don't know if I shared this on here, but I have this dog that I've had since she was a puppy. She's sitting on the bed over there. Her name is Amy, and I named her after a friend of mine who had passed a few years back. And when I was naming her, she didn't have a name at the time, and it was the second day I had her. When I was naming her, I was meditating very deeply on it, and my thought came to, what am I going to name this dog? And then very vividly, my friend who had passed, whose name was Amy, popped into my head and said, what about me? And I said, oh, okay. I looked up and I said, Amy. And the dog raised her head. At first it was kind of like that. That was just like, well, she just came to me to maybe have a memory of her. But then a couple years later, took a picture of Amy, my dog, and put it on ChatGPT on one of those, what does my dog look like as a human thing. Dog, I shit you not, it looked like my friend Amy.
Really?
Not even kidding. And so, like, you know, and that's a weird thing to say, is that, like, you know, my friend may have become my dog. I don't know how true that is. I don't know. But it's definitely a weird thing. It's definitely like the fact that I had that experience in the beginning and then that's what she looks like. It's eerily crazy. It's just insane. Mm-hmm. And when I met her, I felt like I'd met her before. So it's odd. The whole thing is odd.
Where'd you meet?
Rehab. Yeah. In Austin, Texas.
Got it.
Yeah. Both of those ideas, when considering that, are interesting. Because
yeah, I don't know that I believe in reincarnation as a spiritual concept. Nope. I mean, we talked about this a little bit on the last episode. Like, my view is that I don't think the soul or the spirit thinks or processes intention in any regard. I mean, the question you have here, I just read it, is, do you believe souls have a purpose that unfolds over many lives?
Yeah, I don't know how much I don't know.
Like, I don't believe that souls have intention. I just think souls are. Like, I don't think that it's a... I believe more in the idea of, like, apotheosis of, like, you know, interacting with the soul enough that you just return. I don't really believe in the separation of heaven and hell and so on, but
yeah, I don't,
you know,
I think I do believe
in reincarnation as a metaphor, similar to what, you know, my dad had always said growing up, but kind of in that, like, I would say the closest I can compare it to is the butterfly effect of just that every interaction you have leaves a ripple. And right. That ripple carries on after the rock is sunk. And that is the reincarnation.
Well, that's quantum mechanics, isn't it? Isn't that every choice, you have two choices, and you'll split off into the infinite amount of choices you can make between them?
I don't know that I consider it quantum mechanics. I mean, that's more about, I'm going to forget
quantum theory. That's,
yeah, it is and is not at all. It's more like qubits, like non-binary processing. But regardless.
Right.
I just think that, like, the metaphor of how we interact with people carrying on through and then leaving changes that become visible. Like, if you want to call it a frequency, it's not really what I'm
sure
what resonates with me. But regardless,
and we'll get to that in a second.
You know, you meet somebody who carries on in a certain type of way, and then you meet someone else who's carrying that kind of same energy and flow. I do think there's a sense of recognition there. And I do think there's an underlying component to the way we engage subconsciously with people. Mm-hmm. It goes beyond looks. It's, you know, the way you carry yourself. Like, I'm sure there's a lot to do with little things like the posture or head movements, things that you would never be able to identify of like, oh, fuck, he does that the same as my buddy that I grew up with.
Sure.
But they have those things. And there's a sense of familiarity to them by nature that you don't, and some things like smells and pheromones.
Yeah, that actually goes into pattern recognition here.
Yeah, where it's just
psychological and neurological part.
They're naturally carrying, again, these similar types of behavioral patterns and maybe language and speaking that you don't acknowledge as like, oh, well, they're the same because they have very different views or they look different, whatever it may be. But they carry all these other small aspects,
well,
and those carry
on
through all kinds of people.
I don't think that the views are shared with the soul.
Agreed. Why I'm saying that, like, I think that the
feeling
that you know someone
hypothetically
is
speaking,
largely due to the subconscious aspects of how we engage with people. Not so much that, like, oh, this is, you talk the same way they do. About like the same shit, like you have the same interpretation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like that's very direct. You just go, oh, you remind me of my friend because you have the same views. But feeling like you know someone, I think, has more to do with the small nuance of how people act and interact with other people.
Absolutely.
And you pick up and go, oh, this feels like somebody I've already met.
Right.
And it's because they maybe have some of these similar mannerisms and ways of engaging.
Another one of these metaphysical ones, spiritual. I don't particularly like this one, but the idea of twin flames or shared souls, a new age idea that two people can be halves of the same original soul, separated and seeking reunion, which can feel like an intense or even disorienting connection on the first meeting.
I mean, I tell you, the it's something that when I'm single, I never believe in, but there's been a couple women I've dated that it felt that way. But just immediately, I was actually thinking about it the other day. Like, I think a lot of this has to do with how you communicate and how much time you spend communicating early on. But, you know, the two serious relationships I had within a month of dating both of them, like, when we go out, people would be like, how long have you guys been together? They'd be like, oh, I've known each other for, like, 3.5 weeks.
Nice.
And they would go,
they'd be like,
oh,
wow.
It seemed like you've been dating for years. And I was like, yeah, it feels that way. Like, it feels normal already, you know?
Right.
And that those types of things did, you know, start to push me towards believing in the idea of this kind of spiritual connection. But it's also kind of similar to what happened with, how do you say his name? Dostoevsky.
Oh yeah. Dostoevsky.
The Russian, philosopher, I believe was his primary role.
Yeah.
Or ethics professor. I'm not 100% positive there, but I know I've heard that.
I'll be honest. I get Russian's names confused.
Yeah. And I can't say that I've read any of his work or know all that much about him. I've just heard him spoken about that he was a strong atheist his entire life, was very much a believer in the physical and human interaction and more kind of objective ways of determining ethics. And then his wife died, and he was like, there has to be something after this. Like, I can't, this can't be the end. I love her too much for it to be over now.
Interesting.
And I don't, Jordan Peterson had talked about it as kind of evidence of God's existence, of like, oh, even Dostoevsky. And to me, I see that as
that seems love. Like a last resort.
Yeah, and love is so powerful that it does feel like it has to extend past simple chemical interactions, you know?
Hmm.
So I don't know about the twin flame shit, but I can tell you that every time I get into a relationship like that, I it does change my mind. I go, I don't know, it feels different.
Well, and that was actually the other thing that was the similarity aspect of it, is that that's how it is kind of with Madge and I. It's it was like right when we met, it felt like I knew her. It felt like I'd met her. It felt like I was supposed to know her from there. And you know, it's
and you start noticing all the little like synchronicities and shit of like, oh, look, the timing was perfect. And
well, literally, yeah. No, literally.
And then it's like, oh, fuck, it feels so crazy. But I don't know, is that chance? Like, where are you bound to have that at least once in your life? I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel that way when you're in it, though. It feels like it was, that was the universal design, was for you to meet that person.
At that time.
Yeah.
When you're ready.
Yeah.
And they're ready, too. Yeah, it's interesting how that works.
And you can't get past the human bias on it. That's the thing that makes it so crazy, is that it's such a powerful emotion in the time.
Yeah.
And I don't think this is limited to romantic relationships either. I mean, I had this experience with friends that I met where I know this is a really weird way to describe it, but like, yeah, I'm just going to say, because I don't have a better comparison for language, but like, I would say that I have friends that I like almost fell in love with in
the sense of like, absolutely.
Where I'm like, bro, this dude is fucking so cool. Like everything, every time I saw him, like when we met, it's like every time we talked, we had a fucking 6-hour conversation about some random shit. It's like, oh dude, I got some shit I got to tell him, you know?
Yeah.
And there is that nature of where you feel just understood that, again, it just feels like it can't be something that is just related to chance and like the physiological responses of
it. Well, yeah, and I think that...
You can't change that bias because the feeling, the emotions are too strong.
Yeah, and I think there is something to that too, because it's, you know, you meet the people that you kind of need in your life at the time you need them in your life.
But that's the thing is, I've heard that a lot, and I had an ex all the time used to say, she was like, everything as it should be, everything in the right timing. And I just can't. Maybe I'm a little too pessimistic.
I don't know about that one.
But even that, and like that, you meet the right people at the right time, it's like, what about the fucking kids in Gaza?
Well,
you know, yeah. I started thinking about that.
There's evil in the world that overcomes. Yeah, I think like, when everything's when everything's harmonious, it's a whole different frequency than when everything's in chaos.
I know, but then difficult because if it's harmonious, is that because there is goodness all around? Is that why you find goodness? Is that a good and evil thing, or is it just that we create something more?
I suppose it's a perspective thing.
Right. Is it just because we've created a more beneficial and sustainable lifestyle, I mean, and now we find right things?
I mean, because, like, you know, anybody that's in that horrible situation over there could choose to just look at it with pure evil. But there are still people over there that are from that area that are choosing to dig people out of rubble, that are choosing to be pure good within the evil.
Like just human nature of, you know,
that is all not the human. That is not human nature.
See, yeah, but I believe it to be.
That is not all humans. That is a rare thing in humans to be willing to help.
I think it does very much align with the universal like gene coding for the preservation of your species. That like a lot of emotions do tie into the overall desire to procreate and to.
I agree in some level, but animals I don't think that I'll have it, and this is I'll tell you why. Because I when I was 21, probably 21, 22, probably 21, I saw a motorcycle accident. And I like, without thinking about it, stopped my car, got off, and pulled the bike off the dude. And I told my uncle that, who is a motorcycle rider, and he was like, "You did what?" And I thought it's common courtesy. I thought that's what common courtesy was, to do what you want. If I was in that situation, I would have wanted him to come out. And right. I thought that was what common courtesy was. And he said, "No, Andrew, that's unnatural courtesy. That's beyond what you could have done, what you needed to do, but you did it anyway." And look, I don't really necessarily agree with that.
And I think that's a societal thing, man, because if you go to certain areas, everybody feels that way.
Certain areas, but not all. Small towns? Not all. I'm in a small town. It's not all.
But I'm saying, like, if you go to most small towns, it's a very common belief. And I think
I was in a small town.
I think that what we're kind of discussing here in terms of that desensitization. And I guess also
not everyone's raised in a small town.
No, and there's a lot of desensitization, but that goes into, like, hyper-individualism, and like late stage capitalistic progressive societies that become incredibly focused on individual identity. And so as a result, like, but if you go to a town of 300 people and you don't help out your neighbor, you're going to be chastised and ostracized from the community.
Sure.
Because there's an expectation. And again, like that, you are inherently connected to all people in the community because everyone is a part of your active life.
Well, yeah.
But you get to a city and there's fucking 4 million people and it's like, all right, well, what, I'm going to stop and help every fucking person I see? I can't.
No, but I don't think that's...
I spend hundreds of dollars a week when I'm
I don't think that's the point, though, because I think that even people that live in small towns sometimes want to stop to help.
No, I just, I don't know. I
grew up in a small town.
I believe that empathy is taught.
I think that
most of the evil people that we're talking about that wouldn't help, I think if they were raised in the right households and around the right people, wouldn't be that way. Which is why it's hard for me to see it as evil. I see it as ignorance.
That's fair.
You know, that could be fair. I don't know that I believe in some people. I don't think people can be truly evil. I guess I'll say it that way.
I believe they can be manipulated by something that is evil. Yeah. I believe in evil, for sure.
I don't know.
I do, as someone who has committed evil. I felt that. Look, this is not resolving me of my shit we talked about on the first episode. If anyone would like to go back and listen to it, feel free. It's a brutal one in all shapes and form. But in my regard, in my own actions within that, I felt, and not again, not to absolve myself of it, but I felt possessed by something.
Mm-hmm.
Something that was not allowing me to think by my own standards, and it told me to do something that was stupid, and I listened. It's my fault, but it is still, I did feel that when I was doing that, and so I don't know. I think there is something evil. I don't know if people are inherently evil, but I think that there is something evil in the world. There is just as much, if not more, good, though.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I guess it just... I don't know. The more time I spend on things like that, the more I can't help but kind of existentialize it. And like, all right, well, if there's good and evil, where does that stem from? And then does that mean that there is a counteract to God? And that's why I see a lot of it as kind of neutrality.
There has to be. It's like, everything is an equal and opposite. We're playing footsie over here.
Is that your foot? No, that was my shoe.
That's your shoe, and that's your shoe.
Yeah.
On my own. Nice.
I don't know. It is difficult to say because everything is an equal and opposite reaction until you get into quantum mechanics. It's a little different.
Everything has a infinite possibility of reaction.
Right, and that's the part that, I don't know, I see is...
But I think that to me is all
physicality. And so it's like, to be spiritual is to remove yourself from physicality. And like, the idea of God being good or bad is just very humanistic.
I don't believe God to be good or bad.
But I think that if God is the creator, then...
God is.
That's what I'm saying. And then like, if God is the creator, then what is good and bad?
A human construct.
Exactly. So then what is evil? Where does that come from if it's not just...
Humans.
Human manipulation.
Interesting. Interesting.
You know.
Maybe it's benevolence and malevolence, which is, you know, still better words for those, but it's still just like stuff that are counter to our own interests and pro our own interests.
Yeah, I can see that.
And I do believe that there are forces out there that are... we can't see. But anyway, we'll get into this next part. That is the deja vu and recognition of energy. Some say we don't recognize faces. We recognize energy, vibe, and frequency. The eerie feeling might be less about the person and more about how your nervous system responds to familiar emotional signature. So that's a little bit about that. We won't get too much into that one. We've kind of already talked about that a little bit.
That is pretty aligned with what I think is most likely happening.
Yeah. And then we'll get into the psychological and neurological explanations for this. I'm going to have to look closer to this word. It says cryptomnesia. Is that what that says?
Cryptomnesia?
Yeah. When the brain forgets a source of memory, you might have seen someone passing... in passing or in a dream, and when you meet them later, it feels like recognition.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, entirely possible. I mean, it's absolutely an interesting one, especially with my terrible memory that I already have, that I had, you know, seen half these people before and met Magdalene before, but just not remembered it. Who knows?
Well, here's an interesting idea, too, with the cryptomnesia. But one of the things I heard, I just looked it up to confirm it, but the brain can't create new faces. And
oh, interesting.
Yeah. But when I've taken psychedelics. I remember there was a time when I heard this when I was younger, and I was on mushrooms, and I sat there for like 45 minutes, and I swear to God, like stop motion, like, you know what I mean? Like 5 or 10 a second, just flipping through my brain of faces I had never seen. And then it started happening when I'd smoke weed. And I just see faces by the thousands of shit of people I didn't recognize. And it's like, are all of those people I'd seen throughout my life, and now when I see new people, I associate them with these, you know what I mean, that? Or is it there some ability with the assistance of substances to, you know what I mean, kind of amalgamate them into new faces?
I don't know. I think also our brain wants to see faces.
Yeah, there's a name for that. I forget what it's called.
I forget what that's called too, but I think that is a true thing. Our brain does want to see and make
things. Yeah, it's why you see shapes in clouds and faces in the wood.
Yeah, it wants to make an association that it recognizes. That's interesting. But also going on to the next part, projection. You could be projecting an aspect of yourself onto them. Something buried, a shadow, a wound, or even something like a dream you once had.
Yeah, that kind of goes into what I was saying.
Yeah. Yeah, that does sound much more similar to that. Pattern recognition, we talked about this a little bit earlier. The brain is wired to recognize patterns. A familiar speech cadence, posture, or look can trigger a subconscious association, giving the illusion of familiarity. And also attachment theory. Sometimes the recognition is emotional, not visual. The way someone talks to you might mimic how a caregiver or ex treated you. The body responds before the mind can catch up. And you know, I'm no psychologist or neurologist, so I don't know much about these things from that standpoint. So we'll get on into the philosophical and existential questions, which I know equally nothing about. But the question here that I have several questions that I wrote down, basing it off of the first one, which was, what does it mean to know someone? Is it something that only happens over time? Is it about shared history, or is it about resonance? I think just given those two, or the third one is, can you know someone right away? And then there's a couple more after that, but I honestly think it's about resonance. I think, and you know, shared history too, and you get to know people better over time. But, and also people can hide who they are pretty easily in the beginning. But over time you learn to, some shadows get pulled back. But I do think it's about, a lot of it is to do with resonance of how that person affected your thoughts. When you, that person resonated with me. At the very least sparks a curiosity that you would like to know that person. And, I don't know if you can know someone entirely right away. I don't think so.
I think you have to know someone entirely ever.
I don't know. I don't know. Cause people always have their own things that they do behind closed doors.
Yeah. There's, a good quote. You can only meet people as far as they've met themselves.
True.
And I don't think anyone can ever know themselves fully. It's actually another topic that I want to bring up. We'll talk about it on the next episode. But there's some Tibetan beliefs that like the focus on self-development is inherently flawed, that it's leading you away, that you can't you can't solve problems when you're the one asking the question about yourself.
Interesting.
The idea is to absolve yourself.
We'll do that one next week.
Yeah, maybe. Personal identity. But point is that there will always be limitations on your own self-knowledge, and that means that nobody can ever truly know you.
Right.
Like, if I could tell you everything, if I get good at pattern recognition, then I've lost intention. It is...
Sure.
I hate to bring this up because I have such limited knowledge on it. I don't mean to be, cliche here. But it is very similar, like superposition and quantum physics. Mm. Like the more you know about a particle's speed, the less you know about its position, and vice versa.
Right.
But like, the more you know about your own patterns, the less you've learned your true wants and desires, and the more you focus on that, then the less you focus on patterns.
Yeah, so that does make sense, yeah.
And so as a result, like, people around you can learn some of your blind spots of the thing you're not directly paying your attention to.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always going to be limits on how well you know someone. Like, if you knew someone fully, then you'd be able to predict everything they ever did. And nobody can do that because humans are too too complex.
Yeah.
And I think knowing someone truly is, like the closest you can get is knowing their wants and helping them achieve that.
Yeah, I think that's
knowing
probably
the things that serve them well,
yeah,
and looking out for their best interest.
I think that's probably true.
Yeah, and it's like whether or not I know every habit or every interest or their favorite color.
Right.
If I know what things serve them well and the things that serve their highest purpose.
Right, yeah.
That is the
if knowing someone is
the most
intimate
I know someone.
I don't know anybody.
Right.
Can you remember someone you've never met?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
That goes into like the kind of reincarnative things.
Yeah. I don't know about, I mean, who knows, man? Like, can you remember someone you've never met? Maybe. I felt like I've had a couple people where it's like, dude, I remember you, but we've never met. But it felt like maybe it's just this, like one of these other, the neurological things where it's just a pattern recognition thing.
Well, I guess it depends too on how much you believe in the idea of like premonition.
Yeah, true.
Like, do you believe that like all these people that have stories of the plane they're getting on is going to crash and then they don't get on the plane? Where they say, oh, this happened. I mean, I know a few people who've had very specific encounters with this. It's like, if you take those at face value, then it's possible you could have the same with people.
Yeah.
And that deja vu is legitimate.
Yeah, that's entirely possible. Can a moment of recognition be just as real as years of relationship?
No.
I disagree.
No.
I'll tell you why. I have.
You just said like at that time that exposes the intricacies in somebody's personality.
I didn't say it's more. I said it's just as,
I guess, yeah. Explain that. What does that mean?
So I've had people that I met in rehab, in specifics, that I got more out. They got more out of me in those 3 weeks to a month that I was there with them than friends that I'd known for forever.
Okay. So you know I wouldn't consider that a moment of recognition, though.
Okay.
Meant like meeting someone for the first time.
I guess what I was kind of going at with this question was like, can more, I mean, let's morph it into this. Can more effort in a short period of time?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. But I think to me, in a lot of ways, that it kind of defeats the purpose of it. And this is like one of the things that I had, you know, when I was talking about those other relationships is I spent the first 3 weeks, I'm really big on like courtship, like not jumping into dating, like spending a lot of time hanging out. And so, I mean, we would hang out for 4 to 6 hours a day, 3-4 days a week for a few weeks. And so I was like, I really like this person, but we talk for like 6-7 hours. And you know me, I like to dig at people's shit. And so it's like the average couple, I was looking this up not recently, but the average couple spends like 1 to 2 dates a week for about 90 minutes each for the first month of dating.
Oh, that's brutal.
Yeah. And so it's like, all right, well, you've spent, you know, let's just say, let's call it 2 hours a week for a month. So you got 8 hours. But most people, when they're initially starting, probably aren't going straight to the depth of conversation. They're like trying to dig up all your oldest shit and, you know what I mean, your most intricate personal wants and values. Like, that takes time to get there. But if you jump into that immediately, like rehab is a really good example of this.
Yeah.
And like the people I met were often through kind of shared traumas and whatnot.
Right, yeah.
Then it's like, all right, well, we just spent 24 hours in the past week talking about all of the most brutal shit we've ever been through. It's like that would take months and, you know, the standard process of getting to. But you're still spending more time talking about what matters.
Right.
So it's like just the time that has passed in total may be extended, but the quality of the time matters more than the quantity.
Yeah, because people that have known me for a long time may recognize my patterns and my tendencies and things, but unless they've dug on asking of like what's going on with you than they really know about what's going on.
Yeah, I don't think most of my family knows me very well.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. Yeah. My immediate family does, but not my, not so much my other extended. Last question here. What do we really respond to in others? Their personality, their presence, or something I wrote older, but else? Something else.
D, all of the above.
Yeah, it's probably true. I think that, you know, we definitely respond to their personality, and their presence is different than their personality because it's how they carry themselves. Someone could be a loud, boisterous person, but they don't carry themselves well. And they are not, you know, yeah, it's not the same thing.
Yeah.
But it also could be, you know, for, I don't know, it could be the reincarnation stuff. It could be that you've met these people before. It could be that, you know, maybe they're kindred spirits of these other people that you've met. And it's that type of thing. You know, that's all possible. I have no idea. I think everything, I'm fully on board of being open to anything at this point because of how many lies have been told to us, the people of the world. Know what I'm saying?
That's a rabbit hole to go down.
J-Rock. Yeah. Anyway. Let's get on to our last segment here before we head out of here. Song of the week. Why don't you go ahead and start us?
I don't have a song this week. I have an album.
Oh, nice.
Kevin Abstract dropped a project, the Blush album.
Okay.
It is fantastic. It is kind of like, he blends genres pretty well, but it's predominantly hip-hop. Very good artist, and a lot of very nuanced lyrics, but he's fantastic. He's got a really great voice, and just a fucking fantastic flow. Nice. That is the thing I love in like any sort of hip-hop or R&B more than anything else. Is how much it just kind of flows with the actual instrumental aspect.
Yeah, I agree.
Beautiful.
I agree.
He's a great, great artist.
That's awesome.
All right.
Mine is called Badlands. It's by an artist named Adam Amram. He is a very small artist. He's only got like a couple 6,000 something listeners on Spotify. I believe he's based out of New York. According to Spotify, he's small. Yeah, I sent him a couple days ago. The song's killer, dude. And I actually reached out to him on Instagram and was like, told him that. I like doing that to smaller artists.
Did he get back to you?
Yeah, he did. He said, you know, I don't remember. It's probably greatly appreciated what I told him, but I just said that's a badass song. And but, you know, if you're listening, Adam, shout out. That song is dope. I'm trying to get people to listen to it.
I liked it.
Yeah, it's a good song. Yeah, it's those are – I like that type of – you know, he sounds like – he is based in New York, like I said, but he sounds like he belongs in Austin or something or Nashville even, just like that sound – that, you know, and I hope he gets big. The fame he deserves.
Atta boy.
But yeah, that's pretty much all I've got. Do you have anything to add?
Follow the fucking pod, man.
Follow the pod.
Malfunction Junction Podcast on Instagram.
Yeah.
MalfunctionJunctionPodcast@gmail.com. We are running out. I don't think we have any listener questions left.
No, we don't.
We're going to need some, so send them in. More.
We need more. Yeah, so do those two things. Follow the Instagram, follow the or email us.
Send us.
Also, I will be we're starting a newsletter type thing through the Substack, which is basically we'll see what that actually ends up looking like. But at the moment, I'm just going to be kind of trying to write more and put that in there. And we'll see what else, and just updates on things. So if you are interested in that, I will put the Substack link at the bottom of this description of the podcast. And please follow that. It'll be interesting.
Donate to Night Cook.
And donate to Night Cook. We could use the help still. It's we're in the editing process. I've worked far too many hours for far too little dollars this week on Night Cook. And that's fine because it's about finishing, it's about making something. But it is still need money.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm running out of that.
Yeah.
It's okay. Gotta figure it out. I actually got a potential nut job like
big, like a real job, but like doing work for, someone.
Nice.
Yeah. And I have another one that I got that I have to fucking do. I have to make an ebook from a file, from a PDF file. And that shit is a lot harder than I thought it would be.
Really?
Dude, I don't even know. It involves like coding and shit. And I've been like having to learn how to like teach myself how to do that shit. And it's not easy.
Sounds wicked.
It sucks, dude. It sucks. So donate to Night Cook so I don't have to do that.
Fair play.
That would be nice if I could just pay myself off of a budget from the movie for a little bit. But if you don't, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
That's it for us, everybody.
Have a great weekend, you junkies.
You guys have a nice time.
Goodbye.